Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Braves win a game that they had no business winning, this, or better to say that the Phillies managed to give up a game that they should have been winning. There's some more tactical errors we have to discuss, but overall we see some good things from the Atlanta Braves as they find themselves in a very familiar position. This is the Locked On Braves podcast, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find all of your favorite teams across all of your favorite sports, across all of your favorite platforms. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Pandora, I don't know. Wherever you like to listen to your podcast, you'll find the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you a whole host of shows covering NHL, NBA, NFL, college football, baseball. Whatever your favorite sport is, you'll find a Locked On show for it, and a team dedicated to your favorite team. No more do you have to struggle trying to find what you need to sound like a smart fan. All you got to do is tune in to your favorite Locked On podcast show, and they'll do the heavy lifting for you. Like and subscribe on your favorite platforms so you can be kept up to date whenever a new episode does drop from your favorite shows. Locked On Podcast Network, your teams every single day. All right, so the Braves managed to win a game yesterday, like I alluded to in the opening there. That they had zero business winning. Started out fine. The Braves actually got to Aaron Nola very quickly. Hit a couple homers off of him. Ronald Acuna hit a 460-foot bomb, the hardest hit ball of his career. 116 miles an hour as he tied for the league lead with Vlad Guerrero Jr. yet again in the home runs. Just goes to show you just how incredible Ronald Acuna really has been this year. But he wasn't alone, as William Contreras, who I talked about yesterday, was kind of struggling a little bit, had kind of hit a little bit of a sour patch. Well, he had a really, really strong day yesterday. Ended up going 3-for-4, including the home run off of Aaron Nola. Was also a pretty good shot off of him. That is William's sixth of the season. But the heroics didn't stop there, as the Braves fell behind because, as we'll get to a little bit later in the show, Snicker just continues to kind of ignore what should be happening with Drew Smyly. He ignores trends, and for the third or fourth time in a row, he had the exact same problem bite him at the exact same time in the exact same predictable way. But the Braves didn't give up, which was something I enjoyed seeing. At one point, when the Phillies jumped ahead 5-4, you thought that this game was over, but a 5-run eighth inning spurred the Braves onto victory, as well as a big-time home run by Austin Riley to put the Braves back in front in that eighth inning, as the Braves are able to call on the offensive dogs for a change and look a little bit more like the team that we saw so much last year. Bullpen wasn't great. We got to see Shane Green come back. We'll talk about him in a little bit, but the bullpen was able to do well when they needed to the most, and the Braves come through with a 9-5 victory, which leaves them in the same position we have seen them so many times this year, four times by my estimation, and it could be a little bit, could be more than that, but four times to my knowledge where the Braves have been at 500, looking to go above 500 for the first time this season. And it was very, very important to win that first game. In this three-game set with Philadelphia, you end facing Zach Wheeler versus Ian Anderson, and you don't want to go into a game versus Zach Wheeler with the series on the line and with 500 on the line. You don't want that. That is a very tough challenge. Zach Wheeler is a fantastic pitcher, and he's also the best pitcher that Philadelphia has. So you want to have at least a split secured by the time you get to Zach Wheeler. Now, they still don't have a split. If they win tonight, they win the series. It'll be Tucker Davidson for his third start of the 2021 campaign, taking on Zach Eflin. Now, Eflin is a guy that I'm going to be very interested. We talked a lot about the grip substances yesterday. I'm going to be very interested to see how Eflin does in his first start since the reported suspension for those that get busted with any substances. Because Eflin is a sinker baller who has had a fair bit of movement. I'm actually about to pull up his StatCast data now. I'll be able to let you know exactly how much his stuff has jumped this year. But he's in the midst of a breakout this year. Now, it could be, as a sinker baller, that having raised seams on the baseball just helps him out. It's very possible. There's a lot of guys who are off-speed pitchers that are going to do better with the seams being raised on the baseball. The seams being raised up higher means that it's going to affect more spin. And if you look at his spin rates are very, very low traditionally. And they're very, very low when you're looking at the rest of the league. The difference is more just we're going to have to see how they are versus his former numbers. And looking at them, you know, 2150 in the fastball spin, right in line with last year. Looks like he's probably pretty fine there. I'm still going to be interested to see, because his might not be a spider tack. I'm going to want to see things like, how does his sinker move? How does his changeup function? How does the curveball go? But mostly with Eflin, it's about the sinker. Now, being 6'6", there is the propensity for him to, if he's not on it, he'll leave the ball up. And as anybody who has watched any pitcher during the Roger McDowell time knows, if you leave sinkers up, they get hit out of the ballpark. And this is a Braves team that at this point should be able to handle those pretty well. He doesn't really have the heat to burn you. He can run that sinker up to 94, 95 if he chooses, but it's not a super common thing for him to do that. So the Braves have handled Eflin in spurts before. He seems to either be, he either seems to be like Randy Johnson in his prime, or he tends to be horrible against the Braves. There's kind of not much in between. So it'll be important for the Braves to get off to a pretty quick start today, get Tucker some runs. Tucker has been outstanding his first two starts. Hasn't faced Philly yet, so we'll kind of see how that goes. Philly has a tendency to kind of beat up on some of the Braves' lefty pitchers, and they've got a decent lineup to do it. They've got a lot of righties in there, and Harper can hit homers off of anybody, as we saw yesterday. But you got to be real careful where you leave baseballs against Bohm and McCutchen and Real Muto and Harper and even Hoskins and Gene Segura, who's doing his best Trey Turner impersonation and trying to beat up on the Braves all by himself. But overall, the Phillies are in a good spot for Tucker to get this first crack at him. They did manage 11 hits off the Braves yesterday, but a lot of that can be attributed to, once again, the manager not knowing how to use Drew Smyly. And I don't have enough time in this segment to really talk about that, so we'll talk about that a little bit later, because at some point we have to stop blaming Drew Smyly and blame the person that continues to ignore how to best use him. But I don't want to be too up in arms about it. The Braves really should not have won last night's game, but it's a good thing they did. And if you're going to be a team that can go good ways into the season or win a lot of games, you're going to win games that you had no business winning. So for the Braves, I'm not going to penalize them too much for that. I'd rather them win a game that they're not supposed to win than lose a game that they are supposed to win. So overall, happy to see the Braves get that win, even though things didn't work out so well for Shane Green, who we'll talk about here in the next segment. But Acuna gets his 18th homer, William Contreras does well, Austin Riley hits a mammo shot, and the Braves come out on top in Game 1. We're going to go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we're going to examine Shane Green's first action as an Atlanta Brave in 2021, about how this was the most obvious thing that could possibly happen. And then we'll get into, we'll talk about some more members of the bullpen, and then we'll get into, we'll get into Snicker in the second segment. And then in the third segment, we're going to discuss something that we heard on the broadcast last night that just makes you shake your head and wonder how people can still have, with all the technology we have, that people can still have these opinions. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this right here on Locked On Braves. Hey, everybody. This episode of Locked On Braves is brought to you by Lucy. Lucy is a nicotine company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Researchers have developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate, which sounds at least interesting. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, cherry ice, citrus, and mint. Lucy lozenges and gums are FSA and HSA eligible, so you can use your FSA cards to purchase Lucy now. And it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym. It's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy in your life. Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. Subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. Nobody has to know. Nobody that you don't want to know has to know. Just go to lucy.co, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you can get 20% off of all products on your first order, including gum or lozenges. Shocker, if that's their product, you get 20% off of that product. All you got to do is go to lucy.co, not .com, lucy.co, use the promo code LOCKEDONMLB at the checkout. And I have to give this disclaimer, The product does contain nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co. Be sure to use the promo code LOCKEDONMLB. Today's episode of Locked On Braves is also brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about whatever league you enjoy following. So again, the baseball, football, basketball, it's all on Locker Room. You'll find fans just like you for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You'll have a chance to chat with me, might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Braves podcast through our Locker Room conversations. Be sure to join me this week. I'm going to be hosting a room on Thursday at 9 p.m. Go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices and Android. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the sports groups, NFL, MLB, NHL, NBA. For the latest league updates, follow me at Dylan X Short to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. I'm planning to be live again this week on Thursday at 9, and I can't wait to hear everybody's thoughts on the Braves. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. The episode is, Locker Room is my fun favorite app. It's my favorite new app that I have. I'm an old man, so I don't get to use a lot of them. Make sure that you're downloading the app. I basically just make them big, long talk rooms. So if you want to talk Braves, make sure you download Locker Room. Make your profile. Thursday at 9 p.m., be there or be square. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. Welcome back to Locked On Braves, everybody. In today's second segment, we're going to take a look as a familiar face gets his first shot back with the big league ball club, Shane Green, a guy who had been left kind of hung out to dry by Major League Baseball up until a few weeks ago, about a month ago, made his debut back with the Atlanta Braves ball club for the first time in 2021, and predictably, and maybe the most predictable outcome of all time, promptly gives up a home run to the first batter he faces. I don't know if anybody was expecting anything different than that, but you shouldn't have been. I mean, if you didn't see Shane Green giving up a homer to the first person he sees, then I don't know what 2021 Braves team you've been watching. It wasn't the best outing for Shane Green. Only goes a third of an inning, three hits, two earned runs with the homer. I kind of feel like that's more like it had to happen for the Braves. I don't think Shane Green is an elite bullpen guy, but overall, this is still a good move, and he'll be fine. You'd still rather have him going in certain spots than you would like your Edgar Santanas or your Luke Jacksons of the world, especially if you need a ground ball. Shane is the guy that normally is going to get you that ground ball. Probably going to take him a little while to dial him in. And what happened with Shane Green just kind of goes to show how bad the Braves broadcast booth is on television, and that's what we're going to focus on the third segment about. But they said something about Shane Green, talking about Snicker really liking to let the new guys get their feet wet in low-leverage situations. A one-run lead against the number four hitter for Philadelphia is not a low-leverage situation. It's actually a high-leverage situation. It's actually, like, I know it's apparently older folks or the past generation of people are just unwilling to consider the fact that when you're facing the best part of an enemy's lineup later in games in the second half of a game, in a game that you're barely winning, that makes the situation high leverage rather than low leverage. Like, just because it's the sixth inning or the fourth inning or the fifth inning doesn't mean it's not high leverage. The situation in the game dictates the leverage. So no, Snicker did not do any favors to Shane Green. He actually kind of gave him the finger to have him going against JT Realmuto, and the umpire gave him an even larger finger, as really Shane Green threw about five strikes to JT in that at-bat. Also props to JT for laying off a really, really tough breaking ball in that AB. But he does get to him. He hangs a fastball, and it gets crushed. JT doing JT things. So not really what you wanted to see in the first outing, but something that you just knew had to happen for the Braves in 2021. That was the most 2021 Braves moment of 2021. We'd all been crying about Shane Green for months on end, talking about, dude, you got to bring him back. He's out there. Our bullpen sucks. Get him back to us. And he promptly gives up the homer on the first batter he faces. Now, again, overall, I think Shane will be fine. If you're expecting him to, you know, pitch to like a 236 ERA with like a 236, like a comparable FIP, then probably not going to be the guy for you. There's bound to be some regression. There's a reason why nobody else really signed him. It's not that he's not good. It's not that he's not helpful. But he's not really the guy that he was even for about a year and a half in Detroit. He's probably, if he's a guy who's, you know, 3.5 on the ERA, you're fine with that. As long as he's a guy that you feel comfortable going to in certain high leverage situations because your manager doesn't want to use or because your manager wants to abide by archaic bullpen rules that really don't help at all and really hurt your team more than anything else. Shane Green is a guy that can get you to Chris Martin, or a guy that you feel comfortable in those kind of same situations as you would with Chris Martin. If you need to go righty heavy in the bullpen, now you've got two guys that you feel very confident in, and you're really only having to kind of mess around and play with Santana, Jackson, and Tomlin. You really have to play with one of the three. You don't really have to go with all three of them in the same game. So that's a good thing. Deepening your bullpen is always a good thing. And even if Shane Green is not the Shane Green that everybody's hoping that he was, you know, the Shane Green from last year, he's still better than what we had in there. And even if it's just incremental gains, getting a bullpen that can at least, you know, not be objectively horrible, that's the first step to the Braves getting back to being a solid team, or getting back to a team that can challenge for the division. Because we mentioned this before, at this point right now, if you're looking at baseball right now as it stands, for the National League, if you don't win your division, you're not getting into the postseason. The West has three spots locked up. I don't see the Dodgers or the Padres falling off. The Giants, maybe, because they're still not supremely talented, but they're playing extremely, extremely well. Their pitching has a lot going on. Again, I'm gonna be very cognizant of what happens with Kevin Gausman now that they've said that you're going to get a 10-game suspension. So we'll kind of see what happens with Gauss. But this is the right time for the Braves to start figuring out the bullpen. There's nobody else in the National League East aside from the Mets really wants to win games. The Mets only being 3.5 on the Braves, 3 or 3.5 on the Braves. That gives you a real striking window. The Braves have plenty of time. Now, they did announce that you're not going to get Waskar back until after the All-Star break. He's going to have to do some rehab even after he comes back. So I'd look more towards even the beginning of July for Waskar. But that's okay. If you can just kind of patch it up, having one bad starter out of the five is not going to kill you. The issue is the other four need to be pitching well. Max needs to continue doing what he's doing. Charlie needs to figure some things out and start being Charlie Morton on a more consistent basis. Ian Anderson needs to be consistent and needs to consistently go six innings. No more of these four innings or five inning outings. He needs to start going a little bit deeper into some games more consistently. And then you just need to patchwork the last two. Hopefully if Tucker goes out there tonight and shoves again, then he's going to stay in the rotation. And I bet you once Waskar comes back, you'll see Tucker take Smiley's spot. Because at this point, Smiley is kind of done. I don't want to say done, but he's not able to be utilized correctly. That's what we'll touch on that here too. Because one of the things with Drew Smiley is there is a plethora of data that shows the first time through the order, the second time through the order, Smiley is usually pretty good. He makes bad pitches, but he tends to get himself out of trouble, and he fools some hitters. The third time through, it really doesn't matter how good he's been the first two times. The third time through the order, he is going to get crushed. Last night was like the fourth consecutive outing where we've had this, where Snicker is looking at the innings, and he's not looking at the pitcher. And as what happens, the same thing that's happened the last three times, he starts getting bombed off of, and you leave him in, quote-unquote, for a batter too long. It really wasn't a batter too long. You tried to leave him in an inning too long. And this is something that will continuously irritate me about Brian Snicker. This is not a hard thing to grasp. This is something that you can easily see on FanGraphs. All you got to do is go to their splits page, and you can see his numbers. A 450 ERA the first time through, 605 the second time through, so still not great there. But it jumps up to an 838 the third time through the order. He's given up a lot of home runs. As a matter of fact, most of them come the second time through. But overall, here's his actual stat lines that he's giving up. First time through, 247 with a 270 OBP, 459 slugging, with 309 WABA. You can deal with that. That's fine for a fifth starter. Second time through, 263, 364, 592. The slugging, the OBP are too high with a 402 WABA. The average, fine, whatever, but average is not something that people care about as much. But he's getting 18 strikeouts. Third time through, 308, 386, 615 with a 425 WABA. These are right here for anybody to look at. This is not something that is like, oh, well, you know, I don't really know what's going on here. I don't know. Maybe it's just some funky numbers. No, this is verifiable. This happens every single time he faces the lineup a third time through. And actually, he's just as bad, if not worse, the second time through the lineup. Really, the first time through is the only time he's any good, which kind of supports my thing of saying, hey, when Waskar comes back, push Smiley to the bullpen. Or, you know, go out and get a frontline guy. Go out and get a Sonny Gray or a John Means and then push Smiley to the pen immediately. Because first time through, he's lights out. Second time, he's not. Third time, he's definitely not. And a guy that doesn't have electric stuff like Smiley, he's not going to get away with seeing the same hitters two or three times a game consistently. This is something that Snicker's just going to have to get over. This is why Smiley would be the perfect person to use for a bullpen game. To use an opener for, I'll say. If you were to use Luke Jackson as an opener, and I'm just pulling Luke Jackson out of a hat, you can say, you can't really say Sean Newcomb because Newcomb can't really deal with starting, but if you could, and just say, go two innings, then you can bring in Smiley through the third, through the sixth inning, then you feel like it's a normal outing so you can get to your normal three in the bullpen if that's the way that you want to hack it. To do that, that's not that difficult to do. The Braves just refuse to employ that strategy. And I know they're not going to do that, but if you're wanting to use Smiley in later situations or for multiple innings, you're going to have to do something like that. You have to, if you don't want to remove your starter, quote unquote, in the fourth inning or the fifth inning, then for Smiley, you're going to have to bring in an opener. Because you can't just look at the, oh, well, it's the fourth inning, the fifth inning, I have to leave my starter in. No, you don't. That is how you lose games, by being too stubborn to change. And that's something that Snicker has to figure out at some point. If he can't figure out, then the people around him need to stop him when he's going to make that move. Because it's as long as Drew Smiley is on the roster, as long as Snicker does that with Drew Smiley, the Braves are going to be a worse team because of it. It is not a good thing to be that stubborn. And you can talk about, well, feel of the game is different. This is four straight times. It's over with. We know. Get over that and just move on. Somebody's got to figure that out and get in Snicker's ear about it. At this point, it deserves a sit-down, because you can't be making your team have a harder time winning. You can't be actively making your team worse or actively putting your team in worse situations to win. It drags on the team, it drags on the morale, and it brings the team down as a whole. You got to start to learn something, especially if you're just noticing a pattern. You got to figure something out. And that doesn't excuse Sean Newcomb or Tyler Matzek or Shane Green from struggling. They shouldn't have struggled like that either. But for Smiley, he did his job mostly until he got left in too long. And Smiley's not great. I'm not here to you know, be like, oh, Smiley's awesome. But he's first time through the order, he's perfectly fine. It's not his fault that he's not being used correctly by Brian Snicker. And speaking of Brian Snicker, we're going to touch on something regarding Snicker's bullpen usage and why people from the previous generation just can't let go of something they can clearly see. So don't go anywhere. We're going to touch on that in the next segment. Coming up next, right here on Locked On Braves. Today's episode of Locked On Braves is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the number one protein bar in the entire universe. And I'm not exaggerating at all. Try them out and you'll see. Built Bar has tons of fantastic flavors with a really cool texture that you're not normally going to see in protein bars that makes it a lot easier to eat consistently. They're perfect for meal replacements, perfect for pre or post-workout, perfect for just a snack. They've got all sorts of flavors. I've been telling you guys the German chocolate cake is fantastic. The birthday cake is still my favorite because I'm a gigantic child. If you make anything birthday cake flavored, I'm probably going to eat it. But they have all sorts of fantastic flavors that you're not used to seeing in protein bars. And the best part about those flavors, they actually taste like what they're described as. It doesn't taste like a shoe. It doesn't taste like quote-unquote protein chocolate. It actually tastes like the flavor that it tells you it tastes like. But you don't have to take my word for it. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON15, and you're going to get a nice discount on your shipping. You can go there. You can try a bunch of different flavors. Build your own boxes. That way, when they get to you, you can try all the delicious flavors that BuiltBar has to offer. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON15 today. Today's episode is also brought to you by BetOnline. I talk about BetOnline all the time because I enjoy BetOnline. They are my favorite place to go to if I ever feel like wagering a little bit of money. BetOnline is the place I go. They cover all the sports that I could possibly want to bet, especially MMA and boxing, which is my favorite ones to bet because it's mano a mano, 50-50. I've got a 50-50 shot at winning. You can have a 50-50 shot as well if you're, you know, if you watch, if you're as smart as me. Just go to BetOnline and you can try it out yourself. Their user interface is really, really cool. They use a really nice system. They're not uppity. If you have a line that you want to bet and you don't see it on there, you can always contact them, and they will actually create a line. If it's a good line, they'll make a line directly for you. It's really user-friendly. It's really based on the customer service side of things, and it's a lot of fun. If you've been trying to get yourself into some hockey during the playoffs or basketball during the playoffs, and you just can't quite get yourself into it, go to BetOnline. Lay a little money on the game, and I guarantee your interest will be piqued. The suspense will be there, and it'll get you into the game. Go to betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to get a 50% deposit match on your initial deposit, which is really good. That means if you put in 100, they're going to throw in 50 bucks, and that means you're going to have $150 to play with. So maybe that extra 50 nets you an extra 100 or an extra 200 or an extra 1,000. I don't know. The possibilities are limitless. Just go to betonline.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and get in the game. Welcome back to the final segment here for Locked On Braves. In this segment, we're going to examine the Braves broadcasting crew, Chip Carey and Tom Glavin, as they tried to defend something or make a point that a lot of the quote-unquote old heads or the traditionalist generation make, and it's been wrong for a long time, but now we can definitively see that it's wrong, and that's in regards to the bullpen. So here in Atlanta, we've seen enough from Snicker's bullpen usage. That's probably the biggest source of complaints against Brian Snicker is the bullpen usage and his complete inability to use high-leverage guys if the team is losing at any point in the game or if he feels it's too early in the game to use it. And this is something that Chip decided to make sure that he actually supported or tried to explain away in the broadcast. And everybody already knew that this was why Snicker did it. Everybody knew that this was why this is Snicker's thought process. It's just not a smart one. It's not an accurate one. And this idea that you have to, that certain guys can only be used in certain leverage situations is the leverage is what matters, not the inning. Now, for what it's worth, they started it off by making the thing about the ninth inning is different and the bullpens work backwards. This is all that generation's favorite term is you work backwards from the bullpen. You work from the ninth inning forward and blah, 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 blah. For what it's worth, I do think there is something different about the ninth inning. I do think there is something to the closer about being the guy who's able to perform knowing that you're the last stop. There's nobody after you to pick you up. You are the guy. And yes, you can talk about extra innings or whatever, but it's the only pitching spot in the game where everybody is relying totally on you. If you're being brought into the game, it's because either it's a tie game and you're being told, hey, do not lose us the game, or it's because you're winning and it is, hey, you go out there and win us this game. It's in kind of a weird way. It's kind of similar to NFL kickers. I know we don't think of them as the same way, but it's a kind of a similar mode where the buck stops with you. Like, this is on you. You're the guy who's saying, yes, the game is in my hands. And not every person can handle that. That's very accurate to say. Some guys are just don't feel comfortable in that situation knowing that they're the person there with the game on the line. Some guys need that safety net to go out there and be themselves. Some guys get too careful. Some relievers just don't. Some guys have that switch where any point in the game really is the same to them. Those are the ones that end up being your closers. And I do think that there is some merit to that. I do think that that is true. Yes, you can say that it's not something that you can verify or measure or whatever, but I do think that there is truth to that. I do think that closers are a little bit of a different breed from other relievers. After that, though, it is all about leverage. It is all about key situation. There is this idea that you have to have a closer and then a setup guy and then a guy to get to the setup guy and then just everybody else. That is, even if you want those roles, that's fine. But you have to understand leverage, and you have to understand that certain points of the game are bigger points than another, and it's dictated by what is going on with the opposing team's lineup. If let's say you've got a one-run lead in the sixth inning, and you're facing the Dodgers, let's say. If you're in the sixth inning, and you're facing their 2, 3, 4 hitters, that is a very high leverage situation. That is about the highest leverage situation you could get in that game while still maintaining the lead. It is not smarter to put in your worst relievers or your quote-unquote, or just your not best, let's say. It is not smart. It is not good managing. It is not good bullpen usage to use your lesser relievers in that scenario just because, well, what if I need them in the eighth? You have to win that particular matchup. You have to get to the eighth with the lead for that to even matter. So at that point, that's what you need to use. You need to go with that particular setup. If that means you need to use Chris Martin, say, in that sixth inning game, you do it. Because if he does his job, and the guy after him does his job, by the time you get to the eighth inning, you're facing the bottom three of their order. And that means you can bring in your lesser, quote-unquote, bullpen guy, because he should be able to get the bottom three of the order out. There's a reason why the guys in the bottom three are at the bottom three of the order. It's all about matching up with the lineups. That's more important than any particular inning other than the ninth. I will say that I do believe there's a difference in the ninth, like I've said before. I do agree there. Now, I don't think that means closers should only be able to pitch in the ninth inning. I do agree that what I do think is that the most pressure point filled part of the game should be filled by your best relievers. And if you want to say your best non-closer, fine, I can live with that. Like, for instance, if you don't want to waste Will Smith in the sixth inning because he's your closer and you want him to pitch the ninth with a lead, I can at least understand that philosophy. I don't always agree with it, but more times than not, I can get behind it. But you're not going to convince me that there's ever a time where you should go to Luke Jackson in that scenario that I outlined versus Chris Martin. Chris Martin is a better reliever. That's the guy who you should be going to. Shane Green is better than the other two. Edgar Santana has been the first righty through. Josh Tomlin should not ever be in those situations. But if you've got the bottom third of the order, Josh Tomlin is fine because it's the bottom third of the order. This isn't that hard to figure out. That's just what you got to do. And that's something that you have to learn. You have to start accepting that. And you have to get to the point where you're comfortable managing that way, because that's how games are managed. That's the smarter method. We figured this out. We have enough numbers to show. The name of the game is to make it easier for your team to win. If that means that your eighth inning guy pitches in the sixth inning because you want to match him up against the other team's best hitters, that's what you need to do. You need to get out of this thought process of, oh, well, we can only use them in certain innings. We can only use them in certain situations. That's how you end up with using guys like Sean Newcomb or Josh Tomlin or Edgar Santana in situations where you're one run down or tie game or two runs down with a lot of game left to go, and you end up letting the lead balloon and you end up putting yourself in a worse position and you end up losing out the game without ever getting to use your better relievers. That you have to get away from that mindset. This is what really good teams do. This is why a lot of teams just want to get elite bullpen arms all over the bullpen, because managers across baseball are horrible at using bullpens effectively. So if you're able to, what I would say, snicker-proof a bullpen, like last year where every reliever was performing extremely well, then it's mitigated a little bit because everybody's on about the same level. But in traditional bullpens, where some are obviously better than others, you have to learn, you have to get over that idea of you have to use certain guys in certain innings. You have to start looking at lineup leverage. You have to start looking at what is going on in that particular game scenario. That's the only way to effectively use a bullpen. And until you do, you're always going to suffer with your bullpen usage, and people are always going to be angry about it. That's really the way it is. I hope that Snicker can kind of learn it. Now, at this point, I think that we'd be expecting a little too much for him to get super awesome at it. But again, this goes back to my point of this is why you need somebody in that dugout, somebody younger, somebody who's willing to actually examine the numbers and operate under that same mode that the other really strong teams in baseball operate under, that can tell Snicker, like, hey, this is the wrong situation for that. We need to go with this. You need somebody who's going to be willing to say that. Right now, the Braves don't have it, and until they do, this is always going to be a weak point for the Braves. Hopefully, they can get that ironed out. Hopefully, the Braves can get another victory tonight against Zach Eflin and secure the series versus Philadelphia as the Braves look to go over 500 for the first time this season, for like the fifth time this year. Thank you guys for tuning into today's episode. We'll be back again tomorrow right here on Locked On Braves.